Well, good morning. The feeding of the 5,000. I mean, it's probably one of Jesus's most famous miracles. And yet the problem with famous stories from the Bible is their familiarity can blind us to seeing some amazing truths which lie behind the text. Oh, that one back. Now, if you look at other accounts of the feeding of the 5,000, it happens just after something horrific has happened. Jesus, remember, grew up with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth, and we know that Mary, when she was pregnant with Jesus, went and saw Elizabeth. Jesus had known John all his life, but John the Baptist had been murdered at the hands of King Herod. We read in other accounts of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus has withdrawn. He's trying to come to terms with what has happened. But we read here that his solitude is disturbed. A crowd discovers where Jesus and the disciples are and follow him. How would you react? You've withdrawn because of a deep grief, and then suddenly crowds are around you. Wouldn't you just feel like saying, oh, just clear off for the moment, give me some space? Let's be honest. We would, wouldn't we? That's not the response of Jesus. Seeing the people around him, Jesus' pain over the loss of John turns into a deep compassion for the crowd. And this inward transformation that takes place within Jesus leads to the healing ministry, which precedes the feeding of the 5,000. And don't forget, there are miracles going on all over the place before we ever get to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And how did Jesus' compassion impact his disciples? They saw Jesus' love for others at close quarters. Did that not stir them to want to do likewise? It's very, very easy when we hear the disciples coming to Jesus saying the crowd should be sent away to read in it lack of faith. I think that's a very poor understanding of the text. I have no doubt that what lay behind the suggestion to Jesus as evening approaches that the crowd be sent away is this sense of genuinely caring for the crowd. I don't think we should read anything else into it. I think the disciples are genuinely looking after their interests. Surely it's good for them to leave now before it gets dark so they can go and buy food. We're told at the end there's 5,000 men. But presumably there were probably 5,000 women. Maybe 5,000 children. It's a dangerous place to be out in the open. Surely it was better for them to go and buy food and get home before nightfall comes. Dangerous world, animals around and all that. Rather than be left hungry in this remote place where they'd come to follow Jesus. Now the disciples' suggestion starts an amazing chain of events, which in this passage culminates in an extraordinary meal. But to suppose that the pattern here in the interaction between the disciples and Jesus is unique is, I think, to miss what I believe is the pattern for how God calls every single one of us into kingdom ministry. And therefore, this passage is most apt on Stewardship Sunday when we consider how we offer our time, our talents in God's service. So I'm going to look at this interaction between the disciples and Jesus and unpick it. And I'm going to link it to something which happened in my life, which truly impacted me and has continued to impact me. The disciples have an idea. It's a good idea. The idea is these people need to go home. That's what needs to happen. Now, what often happens in a church context is a thought stirs within us that actually, this would be really good to do. This would be a real blessing for other people. All ministries start with a thought stirred in someone through their ongoing journey of faith. And if you're going to test out this thought that is stirred within you, you should bring it to God in prayer. I believe that Jesus is always absolutely thrilled and delighted when we bring to him ideas which bless others. I mean, if you're only bringing him ideas which bless you, you can expect a lot of no's. But if you're bringing ideas which are going to bless others and lead to kingdom growth, well, I'm sure Jesus is just thrilled to hear it. And that's what happens in this passage. I can imagine Jesus hearing the disciples' concern for the crowd and smiling to himself before replying. Let me take you back to my curacy. I didn't serve my curacy in Sussex. I served my curacy in inner city Nottingham. It was in a parish called Aspley. It was an area of high social deprivation. I did, at the very start of my curacy, an analysis of the area, and one of the shocking statistics that I found that I couldn't get my head around, because I was born and brought up in a place as nice as Horsham, was that in inner city Nottingham, the statistics for single parents' families were off the chart. They were off the chart. Dads were usually absent, apart from perhaps a bit of meet-up time with their kids at a weekend. That really grieved me. What was being done to help dads and kids connect? A real burden grew in me, and I started to pray and to offer it to God. And what actually then transpired for me, I think, grew in clarity as I studied this passage a little while later. You see, we bring what's on our heart to God. And what God usually does when we do that is he gives us back a proposal. Listen to the extraordinary words which Jesus spoke to the disciples when they voiced their concern over the crowd. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Where's the question, you're thinking? This is a sermon series on questions. Well, the question's one of the more extraordinary ones. How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Jesus takes the disciples' concerns and he asks them to consider, what do you have? What do you have to offer? When I lifted my burden to God about potential dads and kids' work, I remember getting a challenge back from the Lord that if it was going to happen, you're going to have to start it. You're going to have to start it. I've given you this burden. You're going to have to start it. And God bounced back to me there for a challenge. And I think that's typical for ministries. The person who feels the burden is usually the person that God is stirring to start that ministry. We feel the need. We ask God. And then he invites us to become part of the solution. I was shocked at the idea of heading up a dads and kids ministry. Back in those days, I had tiny, tiny, tiny children. Surely God was joking. Didn't he see what I was like? What my gifts and skill set was like? How busy my life was? I didn't have the time. I certainly didn't have the energy. Neither did I have the expertise. And yet the burden remained. The burden was there for a dads and children's club. And there was only one thing therefore I could do to God's challenge, which was offer what little I felt I had. And that's the third step in the process. We offer what we have. The disciples in our reading respond to Jesus' challenge by saying, well, we've got five loaves. And the fish gets thrown in like an extra, because Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? We've got five loaves. Oh, it's two fish as well while you're at it. There's a couple of fish. The disciples are absolutely shocked. I mean, it's barking, isn't it? I mean, how many people are there? Let's imagine 5,000 men, 5,000 women, 5,000 children, 15,000 people. You're going to feed them with five loaves and two fish. Jesus, you're off your rocker. I mean, that's what's going through their head, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. They are shocked, but they offer him what they had. They don't stop and say, you're joking, and walk off. They offer him what they had. It wasn't much, it wasn't enough, but they offered it to God all the same. Tom Wright, my favourite commentator, apologies when I keep forever mentioning Tom Wright. Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham and theologian, writes about this passage in this way, and I love his words. He's trying to get into the mindset of the disciples. But think about it in terms of any ministry you've ever been involved in. He writes, by hanging around with Jesus, you've had an idea. It wasn't quite in focus, but your main intention that the people should be fed is on target. Jesus proposes meeting that aim, achieving that aim by different means. You say it's impossible, but you're prepared to give him the little you've got if it'll be any good. Of course, it means you'll go hungry yourself, but now you're in too deep to stop. Like it. I like it. So what happened for me? You do it. Well, to the shocking request from the Lord, I offered what I had. I somewhat reluctantly, I've got to be honest, offered my time and my resources. What did my resources amount to? Well, it amounted to some of the kids' old toys they weren't playing with anymore, which really wasn't going to go very far. And it didn't seem much, and it wasn't enough, but I was sold out on the idea, and I had to go on. Surely this couldn't work as a venture. But then God did something extraordinary with my piddly little offering, just as he did with five loaves and two fish. And just as he does every single time any one of you offers what you have. You might think you've got a tiny amount to offer, but every time you offer, what God does is extraordinary. He takes our offering, blesses our offering, multiplies our offering. What God did in Jesus Christ that day in Galilee is both mysterious and powerful. He takes a tiny amount of food, does Jesus. He prays over it. He thanks God for it. He breaks it. And suddenly, to the astonishment of the disciples, the meager offering feeds 5,000 men and the women and the children. And there's a basket loads left over. It's absolutely wacky. Yes, it's a miracle. But you know, it's a miracle that is reenacted frequently as new ministries birth. For years there was an idea going around St. Mark's about having a cafe. For years there was an idea. Look where the idea is now as people have stepped out in faith. What happened for me in Nottingham? I offered to God what I had. It wasn't nearly enough, but God just kept adding to it. First thing he added was toys, loads of them, because unbeknown to me, when I mentioned this to somebody else, there was a defunct toddler group that had loads of toys that really wanted to ship them off, and not old rubbish, really good toys. Then, because word got around, I got my helper. I got the person I needed alongside, an amazing guy from the community called Tony, who wasn't a Christian, but desperate to help. Wow, what an opportunity. He'd wanted to do this for ages. Then I got financial support. The local Sure Start branch, you don't hear a Sure Start anymore. Loads of them were established under a previous government. There's very few left anymore, but I won't say anymore. The local Sure Start branch in Aspley said, we'll support that. That's a real need. We had some money, and they printed off flyers and posters, and they posted them all over the Sure Start centres, because there were loads. It was a real area of deprivation. There were four in our area, Sure Start centres. They went everywhere. We'll advertise this at our, surgeries. Then we got money. I was in a really, really poor church. They coughed up, and I made a note of it at the time, because it blew me away. And it might not sound much to you, but it made a huge difference. The church I was in, which was a poor church and could never pay its way, they gave £438.60, and that more than kick-started us off. And finally, and I never asked for this, we got a chef. This dad was a cook in a local pub. Now, what do dads really like? Food. How nice to have a dads and kids club on a Saturday morning with a cooked breakfast. Oh, the kids enjoyed the breakfast. Dads probably enjoyed it more. And ate considerably more. So there we were. Dads and kids club started, cooked breakfast, loads of toys. Absolutely incredible. How it got off the ground, unbelievable. I had an idea. It was thrown back to me by God as a challenge. I offered the little I had with what little faith I had, knowing it was totally insufficient. God took it, blessed it, handed it back to me. And from nowhere, literally, a ministry began. A ministry that by the time I left Aspley was regularly attracting over 20 children, 12 dads. And if you look very carefully, two of my children in there. Sorry, Gloria, I'm going to embarrass you. Where are you? Is there an Isaac somewhere? Yes. And there's an Isaac. Sorry, Gloria. Vicar's privilege. My experience of being a minister is that most Christian ministry, which is effective, starts this way. We have an idea. God responds with a challenge. We offer what little we have, which is usually a costly offering. God blesses it, returns it to us to pass on. And what is always astonishing is that the end result is both what we had in mind and yet not quite what we had in mind. Something far greater and different from what we had envisaged takes form. And we look amazed at what God has done through the meager resources we offer. Bearing that in mind, let's consider Stewardship Sunday. Because there's a principle here. God equips the called. If you are called to do something and you think, I don't have the means, great. That's called stepping out in faith. But if God calls you, he will always equip you to do what he's calling you to do. So today is Stewardship Sunday, the day on which I ask any of you who are part of the church family here at St. Mark's to consider how we offer our time, our talents, our money in God's service here. If you are visiting here today, I'm so sorry you picked this Sunday. You can sit there and listen to what we're doing, but I am not speaking primarily to you guys. We love you. We welcome you. It's fabulous to have you here. But if you're a visitor, I'm speaking to the church family that usually worships here. I'm speaking to those for whom this is the home church. For the others of you, I hope you are blessed through what you hear. And I hope when we come to share communion, that's a blessing to you too. I want to start with service. A massive, massive thank you to everyone who serves on a team here at St. Mark's. I am so grateful to you all for enabling the ministry of this church to happen week by week. You do an amazing job. This church would not be what it is without your help. And a special thank you to the countless of you who play multiple roles. You might be unwelcome and prayer ministry and kids work and tea and coffee and music. And I know there's loads of you that fall into that. Thank you so much for doing it. I know from my experience over many years as a volunteer, when I was working full time as a teacher, what it cost to put myself available as a volunteer on a Sunday. I'm paid for the privilege of the job that I do here. You guys are volunteers. Thank you so, so much for being willing to volunteer your time, energy and talents. I take nothing for granted. Now, if you receive our newsletter via email, then yesterday you would have received with the newsletter, you won't be able to read it, but it's this stewardship form. Thank you so, so much. So this stewardship form came through. This is Stewardship 2023. It has virtually all the areas of ministry on, with the sorry exception that it should have had Revelation on there, and we forgot. I'm so sorry, Ellie and Con. We should have put Revelation on here. My fault, mea culpa. So Revelation is not here. I'll touch on that in a bit. If you don't yet receive this mailing from St. Mark's, but St. Mark's is your church, can I encourage you for today, pick up a hard copy of this off the table at the back. There's hard copies around. But to get the electronic newsletter, register with the GDPR form and you can speak to me about that. I'll show you it, and then you can get it electronically. So this form details, with the exception of Revelation, all the areas of church life where we would love additional volunteers. Actually, that's every area of church life. No rota is ever full and never should it be full. Is the body of Christ ever complete here? No. Do I see empty seats? Yes. Would I like to see them filled with more people here? You bet. And a bigger church and all the rest of it. So, you know, it's all about every rota here is available. Every role. I'd like you to prayerfully consider where God is calling you to serve at St. Mark's. If you are already serving in an area of ministry, do not tick the box again and return it, okay? We are assuming that unless you tell us that you are stopping an area of ministry, that you will be continuing in that area. So we only want you to tick boxes for ministry where you would like to take on something new. Please can these forms come back by the 29th of October. It gives you a fortnight. And let's just explore some of the key areas of need. Last week, we announced that George, our youth and children's worker, will be leaving St. Mark's in a fortnight's time. And therefore, we're going to have an acute need in the lighthouse and with our children and youth work. We have a wonderful team who serve in our lighthouse for the children and the young people on Sunday mornings and who serve with Mini Marks monthly on a Wednesday under Karen's leadership, and that's for preschool children. Everybody who helps does just an incredible job. The children and the young people they serve are just absolutely fabulous. But our rotas are thin. They manage. Can I be honest with you? I've never yet been in a church which has ever had a crowded youth and children's rota. The truth is, everybody wants to see young people in the church, but the rotas are always thin. And I don't think there's ever been a stewardship Sunday when I haven't stood up here and said we need more. But this particular season, we really do need more helpers. So The need for volunteers is pressing to sustain and enrich this vital ministry. We're especially short of volunteers with our Sparklers team for our children up to year R, but every age group is stretched. The same is true with Mini Marks, our messy church Mini Marks service once a month, which is this coming Wednesday. We'd love some new volunteers, wouldn't we, Karen? We'd love some more. If you volunteer in this ministry area, you will get training, you'll get support. You would join as a helper and not as a leader. We've got excellent material, excellent resources. A clear scheme is used week by week. And people would help you to do whatever you're required to do so you'd grow into the ministry. Please consider offering to help. I want to appeal especially if you are a parent with children who are presently down North East Hall, in our own hall, or across in Blaise. If you are a parent, would you consider giving your time, maybe once or twice on the road to the help? It would make an enormous difference. Remember, you don't have to be a leader, but the time that you bring means that leaders who are regularly in there are in there less regularly, and then they're fresher. And then they're fed in other ways. So I want to encourage you, please, that if that stirs in you, if that's something that grabs you, please, please consider. It is the ultimate blessing to ignite and set aflame the life of Christ in children so that they love for Jesus Christ. I love teaching. Teaching was a wonderful privilege. Working with young people is awesome. Is God asking you to offer what you have in the service to children? Before I move from that slide, just to say, the Revelation Group, which is not on the sheet, the Revelation Group actually is working with younger adults. Once they've passed out from the age range of 18, and Ellie and Con down here head up the Revelation Group, you meet fortnightly on... Yeah, so Mondays at the moment, likely to move to Sundays. And you'd love some helpers, wouldn't you, to actually help? Because Ellie and Con literally came forward this time last year saying, we feel a burden for this. This ministry has started. You'd love to have support. So if you'd like to support the younger adults, please have a word. Ellie and Con, just give us a wave down here. If you're interested in that, please have a word. Next area. Due to several people moving away, we are really short of people to serve on our sound desk. We have a wonderful but exceedingly small team who serve on the desk. Most people are terrified by the sight of that desk. But can I just tell you that nobody would be just let loose on the desk. There would be considerable training. Those who work on the desk will help you. And actually, even people with only very little technical know-how can quickly learn how to operate the desk. That desk is used at our midweek BCP service, where the average age is up into the 70s. I'm not exaggerating. And there are people who operate that desk who would never describe them as remotely technical, but they can follow instructions and they can work it. We'd love some people who would love to be apprentices and learn how to use the desk. Bit of technical know-how will help you. But if this is something that catches in your spirit as I share this, please offer your help on the form. We need help. Okay. Can I also just say, the laptop alongside, I was laughing at the 8:30 service because there's somebody who's an octogenarian who operates the visuals on the laptop. And we'd love any help there. And all you need to do is press next slide. Next slide. Next slide. If you can turn over a service sheet, you can press next slide. Next slide. Because if it all goes wrong, somebody else will help you. I'm serious. Next thing I want to flag up, totally different. Pudding Club. Established in the autumn of 2017, the Pudding Club exists to serve those who live without a partner. It actually met only the other afternoon. It meets monthly. It was yesterday afternoon, wasn't it? I'm losing track of days. It was yesterday, wasn't it, Paul, you were meeting in here? Saturday afternoons monthly provides an opportunity for meeting together, food and fellowship. Hence, Pudding Club, as opposed to in the Pudding Club. We won't go there. The Pudding Club would love to have some new volunteers to serve on their team of helpers. People with a passion to bless others with loving service. If that's you, I think today, Paul and Jan, can you give us a wave? One at the front, one right at the back. Have a word with Paul and Jan. They'd love to hear from you. Great ministry. Huge numbers that come from out of the community, aren't there? Great opportunity. Please help them. Next one, Holbrook Heart Cafe team.
Every Tuesday between 10 and 12 at noon, Holbrook Heart Cafe opens to serve the community. Free tea, coffee, juices, cake, etc. It's registered as a warm space. Cafe has also become a place recommended by social prescribing teams linked to GP surgeries. Wonderful. It's registered as a chatty with the Chatty Cafe scheme. Large number of people in our community attend, and the number of teas and coffees they serve every Tuesday is just bonkers. Way over 100, and on it goes. But as ever, we need more helpers. To sustain a ministry that's growing, we need more helpers. Both serving and setting up and setting down the tables and the chairs. Is that something which excites you? Recognise not many of you will be around maybe during the day, but if you are Tuesday morning, we'd love to hear from you. Do you have green fingers? We would really love help in our church grounds. We are a silver award eco church looking towards gold status. A key part of that work involves working in our grounds and our garden, not just for our benefit, but for the whole community's benefit. We have our community orchard project, which is going ahead as part of what we're doing. We've got some wonderful gardening volunteers. They do a great job, but the work is extensive and the labourers few. We would love some more people to join. Now, the gardening is one of those things where gardening can be done at various times of the week. We'd love to set it up so you're gardening with someone, so you know what to keep, what to garden around, so you're working as pairs. Different areas of the garden can be set up for people to work in. If you are a bit green-fingered and you'd love the idea of getting involved with gardening, we'd like to hear from you. And that also applies if you like ride-on lawnmowers. Sounds fun? We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. So there's five key areas of St. Mark's life, but that's only five of a lot. There's loads of others on this sheet. Please, please have a look. We'd value volunteers in all church areas. What is the Lord calling you to do? There will be very few of you who are not called to do something. Seriously. But the problem in church is in most churches, it's something like 40% or less do the volunteering work. And 60% enjoy their volunteering. I want to encourage us as a church family that everyone who can volunteers, because that's what we're called to do as the body of Christ. No part in the body is redundant. For those of you who are not able to contribute due to age, infirmity, illness, or some other circumstances, I absolutely understand. And God bless you. You can pray for the life and ministry of this church. But if that isn't you, what can you contribute? What will you offer the Lord in service for him to bless and multiply? Let me talk a little about money. I hate talking about money. And before I do, let me just say, I don't know anything about what any of you give. I really, really don't. I know what I give. I know what my amount going out my bank account month by month is. I know what that is. I don't know anything about what any of you give, and neither should I. Actually, I'm not interested in that. That's not appropriate. That's between you and the Lord. But I do want to ask you all to consider your giving. A massive thank you for all of you who give financially to the church ministry here. Whether you give a small amount or a large amount, thank you. It all adds up, and bless you for your giving. And in these tough times, cost of living crisis, all the rest of it, your level of giving is amazing. It sustains an incredible amount of ministry. So thank you. But I've got a couple of things to say this morning. Over this year, our gift income has gone down slightly. That's because of people dying, moving away or retiring. Now, that always happens. But the unusual thing in 2023 is the gifts from new givers has not covered the reduction in the gifts from those who've moved away, retired or died. So it actually means at this minute, our income has fallen. And that's why I'm going to say a bit more about it. So I'd like to ask anyone who gives to the church, first of all, to review what you give each month. And please prayerfully consider, is God asking you to change your gift? If you wish to adjust a standing order, you don't need to talk to us about that. I mean, most of us probably are involved with online banking. If you're involved in online banking, and if you adjust your gift to us, all you need to do, please, is just let the treasurer, Mike Parry, that's him. I always like a smiling treasurer. Please let Mike know. Just say, Mike, just to let you know, I've increased my monthly gift. Because he does know what you give. I don't. Don't let me know, okay? I don't want to be coppered into any of that. So if you can do it from home, brilliant. Just do it. Let him know. If you're unable to do this, if you need help adjusting something, please have a word with Mike anyway. And he can help you. But I'd also like to invite anyone who isn't currently giving to St. Mark's to consider giving, please, for the first time, if this is your church. If you are settled here, this is your church. Any giving supports the ministry and mission of our church. Now, there are envelopes at the back of church. Let me find one. They look like this. Brown envelopes. They don't contain cash. But there are envelopes at the back of church. And it gives you all the information about how you can give if you wish to use the paper route. Many of you will want to use an alternative route. Don't expect you can see this, but I'll talk you through. And if you want to listen to this talk again, you can see it online in a short while. It'll appear again. If you go onto our website, and if you go onto the About Us tab, you can come down to giving. If you click on giving, then on the giving page gives you all the bugs, and then all the forms that you would need to start giving for the first time are there. If you'd like to start giving, brown envelope or have a look online. But there's the last thing I want to mention as well. And I'm not going to feel embarrassed about mentioning this because actually we're going to be the beneficiary of one of these this year. Have you ever considered leaving money to the church via a will or a legacy? During my time here, we have been the beneficiaries of a number of extraordinary gifts. Some people leave a certain amount, some people leave a percentage of their estate. Next year, this church is going to benefit from an enormously generous legacy from a lovely and much missed gentleman by the name of John Nicholson. He has left us a percentage of his estate, and that's going to have a huge impact here, an enormous impact. And we'll talk to you about where we're going to use that money when that legacy is received. John was a relatively quiet man. He was not the sort of person that was very demonstrative, unless he was doing his Tommy Cooper impression, which some of us will remember. But his legacy will live on in a powerful way in this church. This leaflet has been renewed for this service today. If it's something that's of interest to you, please take one away. Thank you for considering that. And if you want to talk more about it, again, don't speak to me. Speak to the treasurer, please. I want to close this now. Let's go back to the feeding of the 5,000. All God ever asks of you and me is to offer what we have. Remember, God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. That's a really important principle. Because if the Lord called the equipped, then you'd think, aren't I wonderful giving all this that I have? The beauty of God equipping the called is we know we don't have much to give. And then we're left in awe and wonder at what God does with the little we bring. Never, ever despise the little that you have. Do you remember how Jesus was amazed at the widow's mite, the poor widow that put in what she had, which was nothing, yet it was all she had. It was a costly offering. You may feel your time, your money, well, it's minuscule. How does this gift benefit this church? You know what? Remember the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord receives our offering. He blesses it. He multiplies it. The gift given in love and faithfulness goes way further than you or I can imagine. Closing scripture. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, now to him, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When we give, he does immeasurably more, and the glory always goes to him. Thank you for listening to me.